You got an app on your iPhone, you don't have a Bible? Use your iPhone, amen. And this is one per time. Yeah, I give you permission to use your iPhone. As long as you're reading the Bible, amen. Okay. Turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews. I'll be reading. Turn around with chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to be reading there. And then we'll be going to Hebrews chapter number 10. And we'll be reading a few verses there. We'll be reading a few verses, and then you can be seated, and we'll do some more reading later on. But I want to get the thought that God would have us to give today. And boy, I began to look yesterday in the Word of God, began to read, and I never had paid attention to the similarities between these two passages of Scripture until yesterday. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 and 2. We're going to read it too. Let me find it too. I got it right here. There you go. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Then we'll be turning to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be reading verse 19 through verse 25. And you can be seated for those of you who want to stand. And then we'll go further in the service. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you reach down, touch on what needs to be done. God, I want to praise you for your love and your mercy. God, help us to be able to, God, preach in the manner and the way that you'd have us to preach. And God, I pray that may you make your word alive to each and every one in this building today as they read, God, in the way that you did for me yesterday, God, and today. God, touch and do what needs to be done upon this service. Father, we pray. Yes, we ask in our name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having the high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25. Now forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. You may be seated. I want to look here, this morning. Now, some things we've read, and I'm going to be reading some more, but I want to look this morning at the opportunity that's been provided to us by the grace of God. It is the access that he's given to us, amen, by the Lord, what was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was writing to the church here at Rome, and I believe that Paul, too, is a writer of the book of Hebrews. And he was dealing with us about the same subject. Brother Perry was sharing with you this morning about Galatians and how that many of the folks were being led astray by the Judaizers away from grace back under the condemnation of the law. And that's what Paul is dealing with when he's writing to the church there at Hebrews. He's writing to the church at Rome. He's dealing with those same things. You said, preacher, what is it? He's dealing with the fact of that false teaching that was coming across. Those false teachers that were trying to persuade those that have been saved by the grace of God, those that have been given the opportunity, amen, to be able to see the justification by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, plus nothing that they could do within their own self, but only through what God had already provided through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, we too are living in a world today that seems like so many folks are being led astray to the point, amen, as Christian, amen, it's a set of do's and don'ts. Here's what you can do. Here's what you don't need to do. Honey, can I say today, it ain't about the do's and don'ts. It is about what Jesus has done. Nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do can bring salvation to your soul and my soul, but only through what God has already done. You see, the difference here, Brother Donnie made a mention last Sunday night, amen, the fact as a child of God, we truly get born again by the grace of God and understand what grace is and the privilege we have. Honey, we can do what we want to. But the difference is our want to's are right along with the Word of God. God puts a desire in our heart to do what the Word of God says. And I say today, Brother Perry made it very plain this morning. Amen. A lot of folks are trying to do what the Word of God said and never been saved by the grace of God. Let me go ahead and say this. You cannot, amen, do what God wants you to do if you've never been saved by His grace. You'll not have a desire for the Word of God, amen, if you've never trusted Jesus as Lord of your life. Amen. But when we truly get born again by the grace of God, God opens up a great privilege to you and I. God opened up a great opportunity to you and I. You say, preacher, what is that? An access to be able to go, amen, where nobody or a lot of these, the patriarchs of old, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, didn't have the privilege of going. The very presence of God. Children of Israel, how blessed they were to have a God to lead them along life's pathway. But you know what they could not do? They could not go into the presence of God. They had to rely upon the high priest. They had to rely upon that intercessor, amen, to be able to go to God and for God to talk to them and them talk to the people. But thank God, because we have access up through justification, up through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, man, we can go. Hey, man, where others could not go. We have access where others did not have access. And that's what Paul is trying to get across, amen, to the believers here. He said, listen, he said, you've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As I began to read over in the book of Hebrews, we see more explanation about that access. We see here in the book of Hebrews, amen, the writer, and I just firmly believe it's Paul. There's too much characteristic between Romans 5, 1 and 2, and the verses I read to you today over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Amen, it is the fact that God is showing, amen, the preeminence of Christ. God is showing the sufficiency of Christ. Amen, in these passages of Scripture I read to you today, showing that Jesus is the one, is that new and live in that better covenant. He the one that could not do it, that could do what the law could not do. And that's what Paul was writing to those persecuted believers there, scattered throughout the area in the book of Hebrews. Hey, man, he's dealing with false teaching. Those are trying to bring them back onto the law, trying to say it's by law, hey, man, not by grace. But Paul's simply saying and being point blank, it is justification by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the law was our schoolmaster. It was set in place to point us to, amen, that new and better covenant, which was what the Lord Jesus Christ is and did. How when he was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, had died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood, was buried, but thank God rose again the third day. He established that new and better covenant. Amen, it was established on better promises that the law could not do. You see, the law could not make the coming thereunto perfect, but it took a new and better way. Thank God it is that access, oh, that God's provided us. I want you to read with me just a little bit. I'll try to be as quick as I can. I've turned you the Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. Chapter number 7. We will start reading Hebrews chapter number 7. Start reading with verse number 18. Now I want you to read on. We're going to read verse 18 through chapter 8, verse 9, and to where our text is. And you bear with us. We'll just read along with us. Now I want you to let your mind look upon this Word of God. Let your mind comprehend, your heart comprehend what this Word is saying and what the access we have because of what God has allowed His Son to do as He shows us here in the book of Hebrews. Look what it's saying. We'll start reading in verse number 18. For there is a verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and improvidence thereof. Please read with me now. You don't have to read aloud, just read silent. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And as much as not without an oath he was made priest, those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath. By him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. There are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament.
They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But catch this. But this man, because he continueth not, ever haveth an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Amen. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than heaven, who needeth not daily of those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath which was, since the law maketh a son who is consecrated forevermore. Thank God. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the son. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the mansion of heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord hath pitched, not men. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, says he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in amount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also, thank God, he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regard them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sin. And their iniquities will I remember no more. Now he said, the new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Verse chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made the first wherein with the candlestick and the table and showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washing and carnal ordinances and pulled on them until the time of reformation. Catch it again. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctified, and purified the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For a testament is there also of necessity must be the tenth of a testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, he is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 24, change. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Know yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now that it is appointed a man once to die, but after this to judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Here it is. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifices and offering, burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, there it is again, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever set down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemy be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with him, as in old days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Then we get to our text. Having therefore, you heard the therefore I read to you. All the thing that Jesus came to do, he was explaining, Paul was explaining to those who were persecuted, those Christians there that were scattered throughout the land of Cappadocia. He began to shed on here about the sufficiency of Christ. Meaning we're trying to bring them back, amen, from salvation by faith or justification by faith under the condemnation of the law. And we see that Paul was writing to the believers here, having shown them, amen, why that Christ was so much better than the law. Why that he did, Brother Ed, that the law could not do. What he did for us, amen, he granted us access. He granted us an opportunity to be able to come into the very throne room of God, amen, because of grace. I want to preach upon. I will not be long, please. Bear with me. Preach upon that thought, but this man. Two times it was mentioned, but this man. We find in the book of Romans, Hebrews 7:24 and Hebrews 7:10-12 talk about but this man. Once again we see in Hebrews 9:10, but Christ. Thank God, amen, Jesus, the Lord, Jesus Christ, did for us, opened up opportunities for you and I, the child of God, that nobody could do. Amen, the children of Israel of old, who lived under a set of laws that they had to do and not do. But because the law was not written in their heart by the Holy Ghost of God. But when Jesus came, he didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law, and to become what the law could not do. The Bible says the law could not make the coming thereunto perfect, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul would tell them, amen, Romans chapter number 5, verse 1 and 2. Amen. Therefore, let me go back over there and read it back. When therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to preach upon those two verses. Amen. Use the verses 19 through 25 that goes right along with them. First of all, we see we have access. But this man in whom we have access. Bible says here, in whom we have access into this grace. Why it is, because therefore being justified by faith, verse 25 of chapter 4 of Romans, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification because of what Jesus did. Therefore, we being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on, verse 2 says this, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. You see, the access that had been given us came through what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And I say today, the access to a place called heaven, the access to the grace of God, the access, amen, to what God has done for us, you and I have nothing to do with it. Amen, all it is that we can do is simply accept it by faith. Amen, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the access we have through the wonderful work of salvation, all that God provided, is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. All through the readings we read in the book of Hebrews, amen, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Amen. The Apostle Paul was showing to those believers, here is why you have access. Here is what God has done. Here is what the law could not do. Here is what Jesus did to provide you an access. Amen. To provide you the opportunity. Amen. To receive the blessings of God that no many folk didn't have that access. Chapter 9, he dealt with the tabernacles, and began to talk about the tabernacles. And amen, the tabernacle had an outer wall. Then it had the inner veil. Amen. Amen. So the priests and those that attended to the altars and everything could go into that and through that outer wall. Amen. And do the sacrifices there upon the altars and the brazen laver and things such as that. But I want you to notice something. The Gentile could not go, amen, through that outer wall. If a Gentile went through that outer wall, they were immediately put to death. They didn't have the opportunity, amen, to go into the temple of... Y'all know where I'm going. Didn't have that opportunity to go in the temple of God. How the Jews themselves could go through the outer wall. Amen. But they could not go into that inner veil. Only the high priest alone could go in there. Amen. To offer up the sins. But you know what? I'm glad, thank God, that access. Amen. Was made available through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Mark chapter 15, verse 38. Amen. When Jesus cried, it is finished. And the Bible said, and the veil of the temple is rent in twain from top to the bottom. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 14. For he is our peace. Amen. That has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Thank God when Jesus died across the Calvary. Thank God not only did he, amen, rent the veil that kept God's chosen people from going into the innermost holy of holies. But thank God he did something even better than that. He broke down that wall, that middle wall of partition. Amen, it kept you and I as heathens, you and I as Gentiles. Amen, from coming to the very blessings and the promise of God. He broke them down. Why? That we might have access. How blessed, how privileged, what a great honor it is to be a child of God. What a great blessing it is to be able to walk with God and be a part of his goodness. But we just don't appreciate it enough. You see, I'm trying to get the point across. Amen. What he done for us to be able to have the privilege to be called sons of God. Oh, what a great privilege to be a part of the family of God. What a great privilege it is, amen, to be able to be used by God, be a part of his workmanship. What a great privilege. Whom we have access, takes care, amen, of the present. You see, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. We can go, amen, and start, let me use a motto from Star Trek. We can go where a lot of no man could ever has ever went before. Amen. We can go right into the very presence of God because of what Jesus made available to us through the wonderful work of salvation in whom we have access. But you notice, first of all, John 10:7, then said Jesus to them again, verily, I say to you, I am the Lord of the sheep. We have access because of his sacrifice. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The verse I read to you a while ago. Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He was this man. He was the one. He was the only one. Amen. Could pay the sin debt for you and I. Thank God. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, the high priest of all had to go in every year and offer up the sacrifice of sin. And every year there was a remembrance of those sins made. But Jesus, one time, offered up himself a sacrifice to do away with their sin so they would not have to be remembered of those sins. Honey, the things that you and I have committed, the sins that you and I have committed before we got saved by the grace of God. Hey, no devil might try to bring them up, but but God never will. They've been forgiven. Not only saved because of their sacrifice. Hebrews 9:26 said this, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus became that sacrifice. Jesus gave himself willingly. Thank God to provide us access, amen, to a place where we can never go without him. The wonderful presence of God. Not only because of his access, but because of his suffering. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angel of suffering and death, crowned with glory and honor. He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Then he said this, verse 19 of chapter Hebrews chapter 10, having therefore brethren boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Thank God he shed his own blood on that old rugged cross. Why? So that you and I might have the privilege and opportunity, amen, to be part of the family of God. Might have access to the precious, amen, work of salvation that God provided through his own son. It was not only because whom we have access, because of his sacrifice, because of his suffering. Then I want you to notice the second thing. Not only in whom we have access, takes care of the presence. We also look in verse 1 of Romans chapter 5, says this. Let me just turn over and look at it again. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we have access, but thank God we also in whom we have acceptance. Look what it said. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith. Thank God we are accepted. Amen. By us simply putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing we're lost, no good without nothing, that we have nothing within ourselves to offer, but it's only through what the Lord Jesus Christ has provided that we put our faith in the work that He did that provides us the opportunity to be accepted as children of God. Nothing good have I. Nothing good have you. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be. I know we've got a good thing that we can. But nothing good we've done. No matter how good you are. Just because my dad was a deacon, your dad might have been a preacher, your mom, your grandpa, I might have been an old saint of God. And no matter what they all were, how they couldn't give you how what God done for them is something you have got to receive for yourself. You see, it is the access that we've all got to make. And it is by faith in what Jesus did. He came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, amen, was buried, rose again the third day, and sat down the right hand of the Father. As the scripture we read a while ago, it is that work of salvation that we got to put our trust and our faith in that allows us to be accepted into the family of God. Let me ask a question. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever received the acceptance into the family of God by simply putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Realize you're a sinner. Realize you're lost. Realizing that you can't make it to heaven on your own merits, but you've got to put your faith in the one that did what you and I could not do. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in whom we have, amen, access. In whom we have acceptance. Amen. The Bible says, therefore, Romans chapter 2, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. We have been accepted because we believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us through salvation. We accepted Him as Lord of our life. That takes care of our past. What I've done in the past is no more. It's gone. Why? Because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've been created in Brother Prairie, that we are new in Him because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible said this, Romans 5, 9, much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Romans 8, 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Ephesians 1, 6 says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. We've been accepted because of what the Lord Jesus Christ done. I'm no more what I once was. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus because, amen, I've been accepted, been adopted by the family of God. The wonderful work of salvation. Whom we have accepted into His grace. Look what the Bible says. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Paul said, wherein we stand and rejoice, and the hope of the glory of God is trying to get across to the church of Rome. Amen. We've been accepted into this grace. Amen. We have access by faith into this grace. Amen. Whereby we stand. Amen. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. No, but that word rejoice simply means I can boast in it. I can't boast in nothing that I've done for myself. But thank God I can boast in what Jesus has done for me. I can boast that I'm a child of God because of the wonderful work of salvation. I can boast in that. Yeah. Then he said this, not only into His grace, Ephesians 3, to whom, blessed and the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles searchable riches of Christ. 2 Corinthians 8, 19, not that only, who also was chosen of the church to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord. Declaration of your ready mind. Paul saying, amen, we have been accepted into the grace of God. Amen. Not only to his grace, but we've been accepted, Brother Gerald, into his goodness. Thank God I'm glad nothing good within myself. But I can brag and I can boast upon the goodness of God. Amen. As they sung a while ago, God is so good. Amen. Nobody in this building today, amen, can deny with the fact that God had not been good to you. That God had not been good to your family. Why, preacher? Because we've been accepted into the grace and the goodness of God. See, that ought to encourage our hearts. That's what Paul was trying to do. Trying to encourage the believers to walk in that goodness. I said he has consecrated us in verse 20. Amen. Look what it said. Having therefore bread and boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Now we see we have access, but we in whom we have acceptance. But look what it said also, whom we have assurance. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 says this, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It was that assurance that Paul, amen, was telling the church at Rome. It was assurance that Paul was telling how those Christians were scattered throughout the land of Cappadocia. Amen, I want you to have full assurance, amen, of what you have, amen, what God done for you, and what's waiting on you because of the access that you've been granted. Let me stop for a minute. I'm about done. Y'all bear with me. You see, folks, we're living in an uncertain time. I don't know. They begin talking about the debt. And, amen, if they don't do something dead, they're going to write it all. Or not write it all, but, amen, it's going to be bad for America. In other words, you're going to see, amen, the economic turn is going to keep going downward if something ain't done. Oh, showing so much gloom, so much uncertainty. Thank God I'm glad because, amen, of what I've been given through the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful work of salvation. I may have to suffer through some hardships and troubles and trials, but I got full assurance of knowing that God is right there with me. And the access that I have because of Jesus, God will give me the strength that I need, the courage that I need, the boldness that I need, you and I need to be able to face uncertain times and difficult times in life that we may have in front of us. I have full assurance. I like what Paul said. Amen. In whom we have assurance takes care of the future. In whom we have assurance of salvation. For which cause, 2 Timothy 1:12 says this, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed him against that day. Thank God I'm glad I got full assurance of the salvation that God's given to me to know. Thank God that I didn't get myself saved. Thank God it's God that saved me and that God is going to keep me. And I'm so glad for that. Not only we see in whom we have assurance of salvation, but the strength. I've said Psalms, all through the book of Psalms, you'll find that, amen, Psalmist David speaks of the Lord being his rock. But Psalm chapter 18 verse 2 says this, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, of my high tower. Psalms 18:32, it is God that gathereth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Now there's time when I don't have strength to go on. But thank God I'm glad because I have access into the grace of God, have the salvation, the goodness of God that God provided me through his Son. Amen. I know, have full assurance, amen, that what I've committed to him, he's able to keep against that day. Amen. Paul said, I'm persuaded. I know. Hey, there's a lot of things I don't know, but there's some things I do know. Amen. And one more thing, and I'm done. Look what it said. Amen. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, call we have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. Speaks of the service to whom we have assured, not only of salvation, but also of service. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Then look at verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love. What Paul is simply telling him here, he says, listen, I want you to understand, because of what we've been granted, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to, in the search that God, we have full assurance that God can use us, amen, to help others. God can use us, amen, to provoke others. Amen. The Bible says, let's consider another, to provoke them into love. In other words, encourage one another, amen, to love one another and do what God has given us to do because of the privilege that He's granted unto us. Then he said this in closing. Not forsaken assembling of ourselves together, no matter some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see today. For I know we all use that. Amen. It's relevant to that about church service. But I believe it's more than that. It's not just church service, but it's believers coming together, exhorting one another, amen, spending time. Don't get, boy, I love to come to the house of God. But I love, hey, me and all my brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes whether it be in a fellowship, or whether it be eating, or whether it be just out spending some time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, man, not forsaken, assembling ourselves. It's good to get together. It's good to encourage one another. Why? Because when we all realize who we are, what God's done for us, we have the same mind and heart, the how that God has blessed us, and we can encourage one another by coming together. By spending time. Let me stop there, and I promise you I'm done. I've closed my Bible, please. When I get around the world, get around folks that don't go to church, don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't get encouraged. I get discouraged. But when I get around somebody, we get talking about the Lord, get talking about the Bible, maybe somebody that I'm not mad and we strike up a conversation, we're alive, and we're both Christian. We get talking about God. You know what? He encourages me. Amen. I mean, it does me good. When I get around God's people, hey, then why? Because that's God's people coming together to encourage one another, provoking one another, hey, amen, to love one another, and do what God had wants us to do because of our access, what we've been granted. Have you ever, maybe I know all of us do, know people in their lives that, boy, you just love to be around. Because every time you spend a little time with them, they just encourage you. You just can't wait just to get to talk to them. Just get to spend a little time with them, Jerry. Why? Because it encourages you. Folks, that's what we are. Amen. We ought to be an influence in such a manner to encourage one another. Why? Because of this man. But this man. It's all because of Jesus. What we have is because of Jesus. What we're looking forward to is because of Jesus. And I say that if you don't know Jesus, there'd be a good day to get to know him. If you're not walking with Jesus, there'd be a good day to get to walking with him. Why? Because we have access through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Touch them on heart. Touch them on lives. We ask in thy name we pray. Amen and amen. As they come, give us a song.